Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and oldnavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Uma Pagan Ampake Pagan. Joining me today, Bahe Yusuf and Ian McNally. Steven Soderbergh has come out of cinematic retirement. He announced his retirement 4 years ago, but he has since gone on to make some really good television.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's back with his first, I guess, major motion picture. It's called Logan Lucky. It's a heist movie starring Adam Driver and Channing Tatum as the Logan brothers, Daniel Craig as Joe Bang, Katie Holmes, Seth MacFarlane, Riley Keough, and Hilary Swank is in it for all of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It is your typical heist movie. Jimmy Logan, played by Channing Tatum, loses his job. He enlists his brother Clyde to plan the robbery of the Coca-Cola 600, which is one of the biggest NASCAR races of the year. And it is set in blue-collar West Virginia, which means it's the perfect opportunity to just keep playing John Denver.
Yeah. I think you're wrong. It's not the typical bank heist movie. It's not a bank heist movie for the first 20 minutes, right?
It isn't. But it feels like, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, Hillbilly Ocean's 11, Redneck Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah, I think the movie says it itself. They call them the Ocean 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven, yeah, that's pretty cute.
And I think it's, it's not typical, but it seems like a typical Soderbergh going through his greatest hits, though.
In a way, but did you...
This is a well-acted, slickly directed heist film, and I had a great time.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, I've seen this before.
Mm. Yeah. Well, not with these accents.
Oh, God, no.
You've not seen Daniel Craig doing weird dyed-haired accents.
I did like his accent. And I think it was nice that he wasn't the throwaway joke character. He becomes essentially the third piece of this puzzle, right? So he's in it enough to not just be a random cameo.
Yeah.
But he's in it not too much where his accent becomes annoying, I think. Yeah.
Unlike Seth MacFarlane.
Who clearly wasn't given enough time to practice that British accent.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Or hadn't seen the rest of the script and what the tone was. I like Soderbergh's work. I think Out of Sight is one of the greatest movies of all time, just for its style, its pacing, its time thing. Like the fact that the opening scene where you don't realize it's George Clooney coming out and throwing his tie off actually happens like three quarters way through the movie.
Mm.
The David Holmes soundtrack. Everything about that movie is great.
Yes. And also, let's, you know, make no mistake, when Soderbergh did Ocean's 11, he kind of set the standard for the heist movie.
Yes.
When that movie came out, the sad consequence of it is that we've been inundated with cheap imitators ever since.
Yeah. And this doesn't feel like that. It feels like that's what he sold it as, but he wants to make a very different movie. This movie has, Channing Tatum's character has a list of rules which anyone will pull together if you watch a load of heist movies.
Mm.
And in another director's hands, say someone like Guy Ritchie, every time one of those things happen, things like, you know, prepare when things go south or have a backup plan or know when to walk away, those rules are like, the camera never lovingly pans over them.
Yeah.
You kind of see them a little bit. And it's never like, you know, like I said, Guy Ritchie would have, when the first thing goes wrong, have a backup plan, that would flash on the screen.
Yeah,
when the second thing goes wrong, also have a backup plan. They don't do that.
Yeah.
It's up to the audience to kind of figure it out on their own. And the movie is bookended with just long conversations with his daughter. Like, I thought, it's like he sold the studio a heist movie, but he actually just wanted to have a father-daughter movie and a load of actors doing funny accents.
I think for me, this feels like, in some odd way, this feels like something a director would do before they did Oceans. So like this, yeah. Oceans feels like a more polished version of this movie.
Yeah.
You know? And which feels very weird for me.
Yeah. You know? I mean, this feels like, well, I've done the tight version, now I'm just going to be loose and baggy.
Yeah. And I felt really disappointed by that.
Oh, right.
I enjoyed the film. Like, I think it's got a great second act, but it's got a weird third act, I think.
It's also, like, it's just, it's, I kind of found it slow. We were in a very empty cinema seeing it, and it was just a little bit slow, and there's not enough indication of what, you don't want an indication of the tone, like, you're going into the movies anyway, but it wasn't like, is this supposed to be serious or funny?
Mm.
Are we supposed to laugh at their accents or take them on board?
Yeah.
And then there's moments of mild humor, and in the middle section, there's some really funny things happen.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, and then at that point it feels like it's running, but it's like
after that it just sort of slows down again, right?
Kind of, yeah.
It does, and I know the pacing is a bit odd because it doesn't follow that traditional three-act structure in the tightest sense. However, that being said, I quite liked where he went with the accents and the humor because he wasn't playing the accents for laughs.
No.
It's very easy, especially in this day and age, in Trump's America, where it's fun to make fun of the rednecks or the hillbillies.
Mock the yokels.
Mock the yokels, that he doesn't do it at all. I mean, when I saw the trailer, that was what I was concerned. I thought, you know, all these Hollywood A-list actors are going to spend some time in West Virginia and just, you know, take the piss out of everyone that isn't them.
Yeah, but it kind of looks like what the Coen brothers would maybe do, where each, you know, a character, Daniel Craig's character would turn up for 5 minutes and be flamboyant and amazing and then just disappear. Be gone and move on. But it's not that.
It's not that. Yeah. And also, Channing Tatum's character is so lovable as this hapless hero.
Yeah.
I think he does a tremendous job as Jimmy Logan.
Adam Driver as well, because he's like a blank slate.
Yeah.
He's just standing there. He's quite big in this. I mean, he's not hiding under Kylo Ren's coat, and I'm not familiar with his TV work, but like just the slow talking and the thinking ahead. Like there's a point where he just takes off his arm and does something and then just goes outside and prepares something.
That's great.
He just kind of moves, but it's not like he's not talky about it. He's not showy about it. And like... cauliflower. You know, there's a moment with cauliflower and it's like it jumps to later and just the conversations around that. It's very, not autistic, but like kind of matter of fact, kind of salt of the earth type. It's like, there's no need to get afeared, you know? Yeah. We're just going to have a discussion about this crazy thing that's going on.
And of course, everything feels lived in, right? Because all of this stuff has happened and there's very little exposition as to what has happened.
Yeah.
You know he gets sent to juvie because of his brother made him commit a crime, but you don't necessarily know what that crime is or care.
It's very weird because for the first half of the movie, I'm thinking, who are these people?
Yeah.
And who are these extra people who keep turning up? But by the time it was getting near the end, I was like, I want to spend more time with these people.
And I think that's what Soderbergh does best. And we saw it in all three Ocean's movies, you know, whether you liked Ocean's 12 or not. We saw it as a bunch of people, a bunch of friends getting together and shooting a movie. And hopefully, if it's compelling and charming enough, you'd want to go along for the ride. Now, with these characters, with Adam Driver, with Channing Tatum, with Clyde and Jimmy Logan, I do want to spend more time with them and go along for the ride. Yeah. You know, the thing that stands out most for this movie, or I think the secret to my enjoyment, is that it's so good-natured. Like, everything about this film, even the criminals, even the hardened criminals in prison...
The book joke.
...are so good-natured.
Oh, that was so
the
good.
The book joke. There I mean, don't spoil it.
I won't spoil it, but there is a protracted...
I was laughing my ass off.
The protracted literary joke during a prison riot, which is worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah.
And I think it's also that thing of, like, how the warden goes, we have your demands, and well, and dot, dot, dot. Yeah. You mean you watch the movie.
And the repeated lines of the warden saying, you know, we don't have food poisoning in this prison. We don't have riots in this prison.
We don't have breakouts in this prison. It's great.
It's really clever.
Yeah.
The something about the Ocean's movies is that, like, and other movies try to do this, where you see the heist, and then there's the, and this is how we did it, you know? Yeah. It's the Kansas City shuffle from Lucky Number 7. This movie tries to do that, but then it's like, usually those things, they've earned it or they've set up a few things. Like, there's one character who turns up who's pivotal in relation to the smoke.
Mm.
You don't see him before, right?
Yeah.
Is he in the bar or something?
Yes, he is in the bar. You see him within the first 10 minutes of the film when Jimmy walks into the bar and he goes, hey, Earl. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay, well, you spotted that. I did not spot that, and I felt that was weird. And the other Bang Brothers, it looks like they're in the background, but it's like, where's their payoff? The payoff to their storyline. There's they tie off a lot of loose ends very nicely. Tie off with cable ties.
Yeah.
But they're loose ends you don't expect. Because it's almost like a Pixar movie where you think, here's the happy ending, and then it's like, nope.
Nope, yeah.
And then what happens after that is quite interesting. Yeah. But what happens after that is also kind of weird. You know, that's, again, we've talked about Hilary Swank being in this movie for all of five minutes, and it is, I found her very distracting, and the her last appearance in the movie is like, wait, what?
I just felt like it was like a real setup for, if you like this, maybe we'll make a second one.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed
luckier Logans.
Luckier Logans.
Mm. I thought that was just odd. Like, it that didn't was need, odd. And like, because it's not like she's not in on it.
Yeah.
But it's just like, okay, I guess.
But it just felt like, it really felt uncalled for. It felt unearned that Hilary Swank would be there at the end.
Yeah.
And of course, in the credits, he does that same trick he did with Julia Roberts, introducing Daniel Craig as Joe Bang.
Yeah.
And you know what? Rightly so. Daniel Craig is completely unrecognizable in this.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other one of the other Bang brothers, Sam Bang, is actually Donald Gleason's brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the slightly... The shorter-haired one, yeah, yeah. Oh. I mean, they do good yokel. They give good yokel.
Very good yokel. Yeah, yeah. There's an interesting controversy behind this movie, though.
Oh, why not?
The writer is Rebecca Blunt.
Yeah.
And there was a Hollywood Reporter article that came out in July that basically questioned whether she was a real person.
Yeah.
Huh?
Essentially,
no one's seen her. This is the first script. Soderbergh has said allegedly that Rebecca might have, it's a friend of his wife's who might have broken the cardinal rule, which is, you know, give your friend whose husband is a big Hollywood director a script to read. So they've said that, but also no one's seen her. She's never been on set. Adam Driver and Channing Tatum have corresponded her in emails only.
Apparently she lives in England.
Yeah. Stephen's
and England? No one's, yeah, apparently they've corresponded to her in the UK via email.
But she wrote the whole West Virginia thing.
And everyone has declined to comment on her existence.
Yeah, although Soderbergh recently has said, like, well, it's kind of infuriating for a, you know, woman first-time writer to be fearing she's not existing. But the thing is, Soderbergh's got past form on this. He has, because of, I guess, union rules or whatever, he has used pseudonyms for editing and cinematographer on his own movies in the past.
That's right. Yeah, it's not done as much these days. Back during the Hollywood blacklist, writers used to do it to, you know, avoid getting charged as a communist. Some writers still use pseudonyms when they're called in for rewrites.
Yeah. And I know for cinematographers and stuff like that, it's like a lot of union rules don't let the director work his own camera sometimes.
That's right. And so the Coen brothers do that as well, which became a problem when the cinematographer got nominated for an Oscar. But so I don't know why this would be the case. It's an interesting story.
Because
just
it's Soderbergh, he's always being kind of like the trickster.
He is.
He's the Hollywood trickster. He's always been doing these kind of things.
And this movie is one giant trick anyway.
Yeah.
But no, I had a great time at the cinema. I found it funny, and I found it funny for the right reasons, which is why I think I want to recommend this movie. This is not a movie that's funny because you're laughing at rednecks or hillbillies. This is a movie that's funny.
Them.
Yeah, you're laughing with them, but also because there are some really good jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, kudos to Soderbergh for doing that.
Yeah.
Go check it out. Go check out Logan Lucky. It's in cinemas right now. If you have seen it, tweet me. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahi Wyatt.
You've been listening to At the Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.